Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Transforming Leadership by James McGregor Burns, is a political science and leadership studies work that expands on the author's earlier foundational book, Leadership. Published in the tradition of historical analysis, rather than a practical business manual, it examines how leaders shape societies by moving beyond simple exchanger relationships. Burns contrasts transactional leadership, which is based on bargaining, rewards, and maintenance of existing arrangements, with transforming leadership, which seeks deeper change in values, motivation, and collective purpose. Drawing on major figures from world history and political life, the book studies how leadership emerges in different social systems, from monarchies and revolutions to modern democratic struggles. Its central purpose is to define leadership as a moral and social force rather than a managerial technique, and to show how lasting change depends on conflict, values, and the active participation of followers. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book's central distinction between transactional and transforming leadership. The most important conceptual move in the book is Burns's separation of transactional and transforming leadership. Transactional leadership is presented as a relationship of exchange leaders and followers, trade support, loyalty, or performance for rewards, protection, or advantage. It can keep institutions functioning, but it usually preserves the existing order. Transforming leadership, by contrast, is defined by its capacity to alter motivations and values, so that both leaders and followers are changed through their relationship. Burns treats the distinction as morally important, not merely stylistic. A transactional leader can be effective within a stable system, but a transforming leader is judged by whether the relationship generates broader purpose, stronger commitment, and real social change. This framework is the book's organizing principle, and it underlies the historical examples Burns chooses throughout the text. By making leadership about the transformation of people and not just the management of compliance, the book places ethics and collective purpose at the center of leadership theory. Secondly, leadership as a force for moral and social change. Burns argues that leadership matters most when it produces change that is substantive, durable, and grounded in values. He does not treat change as an end in itself. Instead, the change must be connected to moral goals such as liberty, justice, happiness, or the common good. This is one reason the book repeatedly moves between political history and leadership theory. Burns wants readers to see that leadership is not only about getting things done, but about deciding what should be done and why. In this sense, transforming leadership is tied to collective aspiration and to the expansion of human possibility. The leader is not a lone heroic figure imposing vision from above. Rather, leadership arises in relation to followers and social pressures, and it becomes transformative when it channels shared needs into new possibilities. This emphasis gives the book a normative character. Burns is not simply describing how leaders operate, but evaluating leadership according to the kind of society it helps create. That makes the book especially important in discussions of democratic leadership and public responsibility. Thirdly, conflict and values as engines of transformation. A distinctive theme in the book is Burns's insistence that conflict is not a failure of leadership, but one of its conditions. He argues that meaningful transformation requires clashes between ideas, values, interests, and moral claims. Without conflict, societies tend to drift toward routine or stagnation, and leadership remains trapped in transactional compromise. Burns sees transforming leadership as emerging when leaders engage conflict directly and help it become constructive rather than destructive. This is closely tied to his focus on values. For Burns, leadership is effective only when it is guided by principles that can survive contestation and be tested in practice. The book suggests that conflict clarifies priorities, exposes moral choices, and reveals whether leaders are merely managing opposition or actually reshaping the terms of collective life. That is why he pays attention to revolutionary periods, democratic struggles, and moments of institutional crisis. The emphasis on conflict gives the book a sharper edge than many leadership studies, because it treats disagreement as a necessary part of social progress, rather than as an obstacle to be avoided. Fourthly, historical case studies across monarchies, revolutions, and democratic movements. Burns builds his argument through historical analysis, rather than abstract theory alone. He moves across major periods and settings, including tribal societies, European monarchies, the Enlightenment, Revolutionary France, and modern political movements. He also draws on leaders such as Elizabeth I, James Madison, Napoleon Gandhi, and Mikhail Gorbachev to illustrate how leadership styles differ across contexts. These case studies are not included simply for illustration. They serve as evidence for how political structures shape the possibilities of leadership. Burns is interested in the interaction between individual agency and historical circumstance. For example, he shows how some leaders stabilize existing systems while others harness crisis to alter them. The historical range of the book allows it to connect leadership theory. with the development of political institutions and public ideals. This makes the work relevant to readers in history, political science, and leadership studies, because it demonstrates that leadership cannot be understood apart from the structures, conflicts, and cultural values in which it operates. Lastly, ethereal followers. Collective action and the expansion of human possibility. One of the book's most important implications is that leadership is not a one-way exercise of power. Burns repeatedly suggests that leaders depend on followers, and that transforming leadership works because it mobilizes collective action. The leader helps awaken needs, organize purpose, and expand the opportunities through which people can pursue happiness and significance for themselves. This means the book rejects a simple great man model of history. Instead of treating history as the product of isolated geniuses, Burns emphasizes the collaboration between leaders and the people they lead. The relationship is dynamic. Followers are not passive recipients, but participants whose needs, hopes, and judgments shape what leadership becomes. This idea gives the book lasting relevance because it connects leadership to empowerment rather than domination. In Burns's view, the best leadership does not merely direct people toward an outcome. It enlarges the capacities of others to act, judge, and contribute. That principle helps explain why the book continues to matter in discussions of democratic leadership, organizational change, and public ethics. In conclusion, Transforming Leadership is best suited for readers who want a serious, historically grounded account of leadership, rather than a quick how-to guide. Scholars and students in political science, history, public policy, management, and leadership studies will find it especially valuable. But it also rewards general readers interested in how power, values, and collective action shape social change. Its main benefit is intellectual. It provides a durable framework for distinguishing leadership that manages systems from leadership that transforms them. It also encourages readers to think more carefully about the moral dimension of leadership, including the role of conflict, followers, and social purpose. Compared with many books in the genre, it stands out because it is less focused on techniques or personality traits and more focused on the historical and ethical conditions of real leadership. Burns does not reduce leadership to charisma or efficiency. Instead, he treats it as a process that links ideas to action and people to larger possibilities. That combination of theory, history, and moral analysis is what gives the book its lasting significance. If you would like to support James McGregor Burns, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.